And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with me today. And Bill, it seems to me there is a lot of passion about the various sides on the issue relating to government restrictions, relating to the disease itself. This COVID-19 has created a fair amount of disagreement, a fair amount of passion. Even amongst Christians, I see there to be a bit of conflict, but people are passionate about particular issues. There's so much at stake. I think everybody understands the Constitution is at stake. Perhaps our public health is at stake.
The economy's at stake,
big time. Yeah, it's just there's a lot at stake right now. And I think Christians, as well as non-Christians, are aware of this. And I think it takes a fair amount of self-control to rationally, lovingly, carefully, wisely walk through these issues together.
You know, I'm surprised that you recognize me because I have my mask on. And I didn't think you'd recognize me in my mask. I went down.
You got that big filter.
Yeah.
You got to put a car filter in front.
I did. I'm wearing a car filter. It's a Fram filter.
Oh, is it Fram?
Yeah, Fram air filter out of my truck.
Yeah.
And I was down at the state capitol last Saturday, and there was the protest. You know, people want to open up businesses. So I wore this. I mean, it was a hit. My PPE was a big hit. In fact, even the police wanted to take my picture.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody's going to recognize me.
And you were covered on the Denver Channel.
Yeah, I was. But you know, it's interesting because you're right. People are passionate on both sides of this issue. I was rather surprised because the people who were there were just saying, we want to get back to work. They were waving American flags. They were saying, this is draconian. And I was standing on the street edge and waving at people, and there were people who would honk. There were people who would ignore us. But about every 8th to 10th car, as people passed by,
Obscene gestures.
Mm-hmm. They would curse. You could see them mouth words, or they'd roll down the window. And I was shocked by that because it was not that kind of protest.
Yeah.
It was merely people saying, we want to get back to work. Mm-hmm. But there were street preachers there who were saying that everybody was going to hell except them. Mm-hmm. They were on their megaphone.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there were the libertarians. There were just people who were, you know, hangers-on. There were all kinds of people. There were state reps who were there. But there was a broad range. And you're right. There's passion on both sides of this. In fact, I just finished a webinar on this called Prudence and Jurisprudence. If people want to take a look, and if they're interested, they can go to worldview.org/resources/prudence and jurisprudence. They'll find it on the resource tab of worldview.org if they want to watch it. But that's the problem. Where is the wisdom, and where do we stand on law on this? We walk down a very narrow road between two ditches.
Yeah, and we want to talk about those ditches.
Yeah.
I think there are legitimate concerns on both sides. As I have heard my Christian brothers get passionate on either side. And the issue is there are deep ditches on both sides, not just ditches. In this case, deep ditches. And
Grand Canyon, like
Grand Canyon ditches.
Yeah.
Yeah. On either side. And there are godly pastors, godly leaders just saying, hey, watch out for that ditch and watch out for the other ditch. And friends, they are despising authority on one side and state worship on the other, both of which are warned of in Revelation and Jude, big time ditches. The despising authority is a huge risk spoken of in Jude and in 2 Peter chapter 2. One of the most severe apostasies I've seen was a young man raised in a wonderful Christian homeschool family, turned against all authority, became an anarchist, eventually divorced his wife. It's a terrible situation. Another man I knew was a homeschooling dad from the 1980s and 1990s. This guy despised authority big time. He's one of the, you know, owned a lot of guns. That wasn't his problem. His problem was that he despised all authority. church authority and state authority, and he wound up committing suicide and committing some other crimes, which I don't want to mention.
Because he came along to himself.
He did, and that anarchical edge was incredibly damaging. Listen to what Jude says. Certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They were ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, there it is, and speak evil of dignitaries. And then he says, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. So that's Jude. And so, you know, I've read that, Bill, and there are points at which I have been tempted to despise authority, and I read this, Bill, and this corrects me, just as Romans 13 corrects me. And, you know, I think it's appropriate to critique at points state government policy and such, but we got to be careful. They are appointed by God. These are leaders that have been appointed by God, authorities that God has put in place. They're his men. He doesn't want us despising them.
In that webinar I did, I referenced what happened to Paul when he was standing before the chief priest, and the chief priest said, you know, smack him, and so those standing beside him turned around and smacked Paul, and he took offense at that. And tomb or whatever it was. And they said, you don't talk to the chief priest that way. He said, I didn't realize it was a chief priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He repented on the spot.
Right there on the spot.
Absolutely.
And we maintain respect for the position of authority. That does not mean that we necessarily do what the person in that position is ordering.
All right.
For example,
yeah,
the salon owner down in Dallas, Texas, who was tired of seeing her employees and herself not being able to work and provide for their families. So she went ahead and opened the shop. She provided social distancing, tested everybody before they came in. She was dragged. She was arrested, taken before a judge, and the judge said to her, you're being selfish. Her response was, with all due respect, I don't find it selfish that I just want to feed my family. I don't find it selfish that my employees want to be able to provide for their families. So you do what you got to do. The judge said you either apologize for being selfish, that's exactly what he said, or pay a $7,000 fine or spend 7 days in jail. She said, send me to jail. Mm-hmm. And that is, she did not despise the position of authority, but the person in that position of authority has stepped out from underneath the Constitution, the authority of the Constitution, the authority of God's law, and has become a law unto himself. We as Christians are always to be obedient to the higher authority. True authority comes from God. We always obey God. Mm-hmm. And we may suffer consequences from the state, but we always obey God.
And in her case, she had the backing of the Constitution of the United States, the governor of the state of Texas,
lieutenant governor,
attorney general of the state of Texas, and I believe the attorney general of the United States of America. So,
and the Supreme Court of Texas has just overturned that decision. She's freed now.
Yeah. So oftentimes there's some gray area, and friends, it's not always cut and dried. This point I made recently in a discussion we had on this, it's not always cut and dried, but there needs to be a bottom line respect for authority that God has put over us. And of course, there are so many different levels of authority in legislative, executive branches, judicial branches that may disagree with the legislature, what the legislature did or what the executive branch did. There's a lot of balance of powers involved here as well. But friends, the bottom line is we are to respect the authority that God has placed over us. And the second ditch is state worship, state fear versus the fear of God. In Revelation 13:7, in no uncertain terms, in this case applied to the beast of Revelation, which has something of a political power to it, it was granted to the beast to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Very important point made there, and that is we're not to worship the state. and we're not to submit to the state as if the state was God on earth. That, my friends, is not for us. That is a humanist concept of submitting to the state and then allowing the state to retain for itself godhood. That, my friends, is not a Christian outlook on any of this. Indeed, we want to be sure that we avoid either one of these traps, these ditches. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open, reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Bill Jack in studio. Today, friends, I've had so many people send links to that conspiracy video on COVID-19, plandemic. You've heard of it,
yes, Bill. I watched it.
You did? Yeah, I caught it as well. And the question is this, did a global cabal of billionaires and drug manufacturers create the coronavirus pandemic as part of a plan to enforce globally mandated vaccines? Was there any vested interest? There was vested interest. Did this really happen?
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe, maybe not. The final answer is maybe.
Right.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
The final answer is maybe.
Could be, maybe not.
Did they take advantage of the virus? Was there a lot to gain for the socialist God wannabes amongst those who want to control human society? Is it possible that man wants to be God? Is it possible that there are rich people who want to control the world? Hello? Hello? Yeah, of course. That's a no-brainer. Okay, people are evil. That's a fact.
You agree with me? You're a little bit of a skeptic, aren't you? You're just a Debbie Downer, aren't you?
I believe the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, my friend. Because, you know, and I didn't pick it up from the video plandemic.
No, you didn't have to.
That was a given.
Yeah.
It was a given.
It's actually the second question. What's the nature of man?
Yeah.
Any good worldview attempts to answer, what's the nature of man? Every other worldview says man's basically good. He can correct all his problems. It's only a biblical worldview that says man is bad. As I tell my students at Worldview Academy all the time, you're just the sweetest example of original sin that ever walked the face of the earth. I don't care what your mama says. Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
Romans 3 states it, feet quick to shed blood, and a society that kills 1 billion children or 2 billion children through the various forms of abortifacient, contraceptives, through surgical abortions, through the Bill Gates Foundation that no question they've been supporting international family planning for 20 years or whatever. So, okay, they like to kill babies.
Yep.
That's a given. They're not even going to debate that. Okay, you don't have to do a video. You don't have to do some expose on Bill Gates. You don't have to do an expose on the liberals. They're already committed to murder. They will tell you they're committed to murder, to murdering babies. They will tell you. I think they'll even use the word murder in many cases. You know, we like killing babies. They'll tell you that. No question in their minds that they are killing life that has been generated in the womb. They will tell you that. And if they want to kill babies, would they kill anybody else? Friends, big, powerful, rich people do evil things. Big surprise? I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Do I have to read 500 books and watch 1,000 videos on conspiracies to prove the point, Bill?
No.
You know, and Bill, by the way, just FYI, if anybody's wondering if Kevin Swanson is aware of all of the conspiracies, all of Tom Cruise's conspiracies that are listed in conspiracy theory.
You mean Mel Gibson?
I have a bookshelf. I have a bookshelf full of books. I haven't read them all. People have given me so many books on conspiracies, Bill.
Oh,
I have probably four shelves dedicated to that.
I love it when I'm at a homeschool convention and I've just spoken and people are lined up at my booth. And there's one person who stands at the very end of the line and he's got the wild-eyed look in his eye. And he shows up and he's got this dog-eared manuscript. And he said, I've been working on this for 20 years and it's my only copy. And the Lord told me to give it to you.
Will you publish it for me and get the word out to the rest of the 8 billion people that need to hear? Okay, friends, people are evil. Big, powerful, rich people do evil things. No big surprise. Now, next question. How does this help me? Do I make dartboards with Bill Gates' face on it or Rockefeller?
Well.
Or maybe I shouldn't vote for Bill Gates for president.
Maybe not. You shouldn't. His sign.
Next question, Bill: does Donald Trump work for Bill Gates?
Ooh,
maybe he does.
Maybe not.
Now we're dealing with quarrelsome issues, and the Apostle Paul warns us seven times in Timothy and Titus. Friends, be ever so careful. Seven times warning about questionable issues dividing the body of Christ. Oh no, we're never going to go there. But does Satan control the world? Well, his world, not God's world.
Right.
But he is the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. So if there's a conspiracy, there is a conspiracy.
There is a conspiracy. He's very clever. He's very, very adept at fooling people. And you don't have to watch the Mel Gibson conspiracy theory to see all the conspiracies come to life. All you have to do is read God's word and you see the ultimate conspiracy, and that is Satan hates us. Mm-hmm. Satan hates God's creation, and he wants to destroy us.
But I have good news.
Any way possible.
I have good news for you. God is sovereign, and God wins.
Yep.
God is totally sovereign. Hey, when Satan wanted to bother Job, he had to ask permission of God first. Does that give it away? Friends, keep the right metaphysic in mind. Keep the right view of reality in mind. God is over all. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. And don't you dare give Satan more glory and more attention, more honor than he deserves. People get fixated on conspiracies, Bill. They get fixated on the evil.
It takes their eyes off the truth.
Guess what happens? They start to worship that which they fear.
Exactly.
Well, friends, as Christians, how do we view movies like Plandemic? Let me suggest several things. Be aware that there are debatable manners. Be aware that there are debatable matters. On the weight of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. You know, it'd be good if it happened in a court of law versus the court of social media.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind is let's be careful, okay? Let's be careful. And there is what is called the Dunning-Kruger effect, where you overestimate your knowledge of certain topics. Suddenly, you become the expert within 23 minutes.
Everybody's crazy except thee and me, and I'm not too sure about thee.
There's also the illegitimate appeal to authority, where just because somebody sounds like an expert, you take them to be an expert, or they're introduced as having a PhD, so everybody and everything they say is taken as truth without considering the other experts. You know, we have to ask ourselves if we're acting out of irrational skepticism and a complete distrust for all authority. It may be that we don't like God's civil authority over us, so we carte blanche, deny everything that an authoritative source gives us because we despise authority. And we always automatically side with the underdog versus the authorities that God has placed over us. So again, we need to be, I think, self-conscious of what is going on. Is there a built-in anti-authoritarian bias? You know, a little mistrust of myself, I've noticed, has been a good idea, Bill. I don't always trust myself. I know you don't trust me.
I trust myself to do exactly what I shouldn't be doing, and that's why I need the Holy Spirit and God's Word. I trust myself to be the sinner that I am.
Exactly. Okay, so friends, a little mistrust for yourself is probably a good idea. And are we sharing content without reading it carefully and really grasping the credibility of the sources? Have we tested the credibility of the sources? And are we self-aware of our own biases? Why are we lending credibility to some sources over others? Are we failing to identify the guilt by association arguments, the red herrings, and other logical fallacies? Bill, do you think it's helpful to know the informal fallacies?
Yes.
Is there ever in any documentary or in anything that is ever said on Fox News, is there ever a red herring? Is there ever a guilt by association argument? Is there ever an ad hominem? Is there ever a
glittering generality?
Yeah. It seems to me that we should be, as Christians, on our guard for these things. We should at the least know what they are and be able to discern them when they show up.
In fact, that's one of the things I try to teach in Simple Tools for Brain Surgery. I teach four questions to use, but I also use that as an opportunity, the interviews I did with an atheist and a humanist, to teach how both the humanist, the atheist, and I fell prey to using, you know, logical fallacies in our arguments, our debates, our discussions. And it's not just that non-Christians can do that. I mean, Christians can do it
too. Sure,
sure,
yeah.
Because I'm very trustworthy. You can trust that I'm gonna mess it up.
You're gonna blow it at some point, yeah. Friends, let's talk a little bit about conspiracies. Sometimes there is a perception that knowledge is power. That if we know the problem, if we know about the conspiracy, then we are equipped with power. But friends, that's not true. Consider this for a moment. I know there's sort of this quest for knowledge and this quest for power. And it's sort of innate within some of us, maybe all of us. But remember several things about this. Is knowledge equated to power? Well, first, the devil promised that there would be a power to know about the inner workings of evil. And he fooled Eve with the pretense that that would empower mankind. Turned out it was a trap.
You will be as God.
Yep. Knowing good and evil. Also, be careful with the quest for power. The quest for power can be demonic and fleshly. By the way, knowing God is far more important than gaining power over this or that. So in terms of values, I know the world is always seeking after more power. You know, this is a worldly thing, right? The disciples wanted power. They wanted a position on the right hand of Jesus. And they were pushing and shoving for power. Jesus reminded them that's what the Gentiles do. So friends, be ever so careful about power. What we need is to know God and to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's the value that we seek. Knowledge of God is far more important than the distraction, diversion of trying to figure out evil. Also, we don't know as much as we think we know. How do you know that everything you know is sure? There's often doubtful nature about the reports, as we've said. Knowledge of evil can produce a spirit of fear. That's another problem. So a lot of times people gain a lot of knowledge about fear. Think about Tom Cruise in Conspiracy Theory.
No, Mel Gibson.
I'm sorry, it was Mel Gibson.
Yep.
You're right. Good point. Mel Gibson in Conspiracy Theory. He gained a lot of knowledge about these conspiracies, but what he got for himself was a spirit of fear. Not the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That didn't happen. It was a spirit of fear that came about.
And that's what we're seeing in our culture. People are so inundated with information that they're paralyzed by the fear it creates, rather than going out and acting in faith and proclaiming truth and
grace. That's right. And ultimately, friends, knowing that God is over all, that God has a purpose, that God has a plan, that God has a kingdom that will not fail. Friends, that's where we're going to begin to gain the spirit of love and power in a sound mind. It's not through just knowing about the evil. Knowledge of evil can produce a spirit of fear, very, very counterproductive to anything you want. What is the power we desire? That's my next question. What do you want power for? Why the knowledge is power? Well, you want power over evil. You want power to redeem, power to save the world. You know, that power already resides in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the power to save the world. He came to save the world. And he's pulling it off in history. So is our goal to save the world from sin and death? That's not going to happen by mere knowledge. It happens by preaching the gospel. Legitimate power for us to speak the gospel, to live out the gospel. And that can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit of God working within us. So, okay, let's say, Bill, that the coronavirus is planted by the Chinese or over-anxious tyrants allowing for the development of coronavirus in Wuhan labs or Fort Detrick so that they could control us more, immunize us more, socialize us more, create more tyranny. Let's say that happened. All right. So now what do we do?
What are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So let's say they did that. Okay. They're evil. They did that. Now what?
Now what?
Well, does whining about the conspiracies really help?
I don't know. I kind of like to do that.
How about just voting for guys who fear God and don't take God's name in vain?
I don't know. I don't know if we can get anybody in office.
So you're either
paralyzed by fear or you whine, or as you pointed out earlier,
you just get up, you start trusting in God,
yep,
giving the gospel to others, and vote for people who fear God, hate covetousness, and love the truth. And isn't that what Exodus 18 says anyway? So it always gets us back to the simple thing. And that is, friends, seek out faithful men, godly men who fear God, hate covetousness, and love the truth. And we're back to where we were in 2016, which is exactly what I was saying in 2016. And okay, well, maybe you're in a world in which there are very few people who fear God, hate covetousness, love the truth, and are running for political office. If that be the case, I've got one more solution for you. Get down on your knees and start praying for them.
There you go.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. I hope this has been helpful for you, my friends. I'd encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, which gives you a biblical approach to dealing with evil, slavery-oriented tyrants who want to destroy freedom and undermine the law of God at the highest echelons of governments. Friends, if you really are caring for a biblical approach to government, a biblical approach to these matters, if you truly fear God and want to keep his commandments in the realm of the civil magistrate, I'd encourage you to just study what the Word of God has to say about these things. And we have that summarized in the book, The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.